Okay, we're up to page Simen. We're up to Simen Shin Samach Zayin. Beginning, Inisha Yecholol LeOrev, and it is page Reish Lamed Gimel. Reish Lamed Gimel follows page 464. Page 464. Then turn over one page, and we come to Reish Lamed Gimel Simen Shin Samach Zayin. Can a person that this, even though this halacha is caught in connection with the laws of the Eruvi Chatzeros, but there are many applications when it comes to other matters, especially when it comes to giving tzedakah, and that's where the person can talk about they these halachas are very much integrated and interlinked, interwoven. So here again, we have to remember we're dealing here with the basic form of Eruv Chatzeres, not the way that we do it today. Today we mentioned many times the way Eruv Chatzeres is done is where one person is the sponsor. One person, he buys the box of matzah, and we learned the whole technique, and we're going to learn again in more details later on. One person, he gives the box of matzah to his friend, and the friend picks it up on behalf of the entire community, the entire courtyard, or mavui, and they're in business. This is called zikui, and zikui must be done when one person is the sponsor, one person is paying for the bread for the entire community, then there must be a kinyan called zikui where the sponsor gives it to a third person and he picks it up on behalf of the entire community. However, the most basic technique is where every single person in the courtyard contributes towards the erith. And we're going to see everyone gives a fig. Let's say we have a courtyard, we have three, a very small courtyard, we have three people in the courtyard. Everyone in the courtyard gives a piece of bread, at least the size of a te'ena or a fig. I forgot. A date, a dry date. Ki gregarious, a dry date. A gregarious is a dry date, is that correct? A dried fig. That is what every single person must give. Okay, we'll learn this shiur hopefully very soon, maybe even today. You have to give a dried fig, kigogeres. That is the minimum shiur everyone in the courtyard must give to contribute to its erev. So if someone comes around with a basket, let's make a very simple case. We have three people in the courtyard. Someone comes around with a basket and says everyone contributes. So all three residents put into the basket a loaf of bread. That is a leaf. It must be shalem. It must be complete. It may not be no defect, not a slice of bread. Everyone contributes a complete loaf of bread the size of a dried fig, and we have the erev. What happens if the Baal Habayis is not home? He is at work, and it's Friday afternoon, and they are in the process of preparing the Erev, and they ask the wife, can you please contribute a loaf of bread for the Erev Chatzeros? It's not her property. Her husband supports her. She doesn't own her. Technically, there is no special arrangement where he tells his wife, you can have your own private bank account. We're dealing with a classic halachic marriage where the Vashakansi Isha Konabala, is she permitted to contribute towards the heir of a loaf of bread without the consent of her husband? Now before we do the insult, let me just give you different scenarios. This is very common. We had this before. Let's say we have a woman, and the woman, we have a bias, and the bias is adjacent to two separate courtyards. There's a courtyard, and the green is the bias. And on the left we have, my left we have courtyard number one, and on the right we have courtyard number two. So this woman, if she wants, and there's a street all over here, there's a street over here, and the only way that this woman can get to the street, she asks that she can go through the courtyard either to the left or to the right. So she has a choice of which courtyard she will exit, left or right, to get outside. So, and let's say, and each one of these courtyards has two other residents. So the truth, so in this situation, the person living in this bayis does not necessarily prohibit either one of the courtyards if they do not contribute in the Eruv Chatzeros. Because the only time we have a rule where if you have a courtyard and you have multiple residents, if every single member, every single resident does not contribute to the Eruv, no one in the courtyard is allowed to carry. That's only where every single resident, the only exit they have is through the courtyard. So let's discuss a similar case. Let's say we have a courtyard and there are five residents. And the only way each one of the residents can get out to the street, can exit to the Rosh Hashanah, is by walking through the courtyard. And now they want to be able to carry in the courtyard, and they must join together in the Eruvi Chatzeros. Every single one of those five members of this courtyard must contribute towards the Eruv. If one of the five residents fails to contribute to the Eruv, then no one is allowed to carry in the courtyard. The Eruv is invalid. But let's say we have a situation where one of those five members does not contribute, but that particular member that does not contribute does not need to walk through the courtyard to get to the street. He has a special tunnel. He has a special exit. His house happens to be positioned in a way where there's a special back exit which takes him to the street, does not require him to go through the courtyard. Then if he does not contribute towards the Eruv Chatzeros, it's okay. He has no effect on the courtyard. The only time a resident will affect the Eruv Chatzeros and prevent it from being affected is only if that resident's only exit is through the courtyard. But if there's an alternative exit, not to the courtyard, he does not have to contribute. If he does contribute, very good. He is now allowed to also bring to carry in the courtyard. If he does not contribute, he's not allowed to carry from his home to the courtyard, but does not have a negative effect on the other four residents. They can join together and they have their Eruv Chatzeros. So now we're going to discuss a complex case. And the case is where a house is sandwiched between two courtyards. So ideally, the member of this house should join with courtyard A on the left and courtyard B. That will allow him to carry into courtyard A and to carry into courtyard B. If this resident only makes an Eruv Chatzeros to courtyard A, very good. That means he has decided his exit, his primary exit is this way. So therefore he has basically shown, I'm not part of B, I'm going to do with B, I'm out. By actively joining with A, he is in essence making a statement, I'm not part of B. I don't want to be part of you, B. Then the other members of B can join together and ignore him, and they have their Eruv Chatzeros. That's what it boils down. Now what happens if he doesn't join anyone? That's a problem. If he doesn't join anyone, not A and not B, that's a problem for both of them. Because you gotta exit some. You gotta find an exit. So, what is your primary exit? If his primary exit, you see every single morning, he walks the shul, he goes out to A, and he doesn't then find that you're part of A. B is safe. B can make the Eruv without him because he has shown his primary exit is A. He didn't join with A. A is in trouble, but has no effect on me. But if this person 50% of the time goes this way, and 50% of the time goes this way, and he does not make an Eruv for Shabbos, it's a lot of trouble. Both courtyards are now in trouble. They do not have, one of their members has not joined together. Like a member of two shuls, and you don't pay your dues in either one. So you're making trouble for both. So here we have a situation. That's the basic background that we need for this case. Now let's see the words inside of what happens when the owner of the home is not home. And the one who comes to collect comes to the wife.
There's a case where there's just a house and two families, three families, and then you need to make an Eruv.
No, it's a single house.
What?
It's a single house. So here's courtyard B, courtyard A. In courtyard B, there are four other people that share courtyard A. Courtyard B is shared by a different set of four people. And this one person is in the middle, he has access to both courtyard A, courtyard B. So theoretically, he's the fifth man of courtyard A and the fifth man of courtyard B. But being that he's joined with both of them, he can declare, I want to primarily be part of A, and I want to have nothing to do with B. Or he can say vice versa, I want to be part of B and have nothing to do with A. And if he does so, that's valid. That's okay.
Did we get to a case where there's two apartments, three apartments, no?
Yeah.
So they have to make an eruv. What they call it, eruv chatzeres also.
We learned that we have a two-family house, yes, and you want to carry from upstairs to downstairs. Yes, yes, you must make an eruv chatzeres. So we learned that you must make eruv chatzeres, even though that's not a joint, even though they're going from one house to another house. They're not going into a joint area. And the Mishnah Berurah told us, it said that people make that mistake. They think that the only time you need to make an eruv chatzeres is when you're going from a private rishus to a shared rishus. That's not so. Even when you go from one private rishus to another private rishus, you also need to make an eruv chatzeres, and that's part of the nusach of the bracha. So we discussed that. We discussed that at great length previously. But here we're discussing a situation of new halacha with regard to establishing the eruv. And we're dealing with the scenario where everyone contributes, not the case the way we do today that we learned last week, where there is a host who's a sponsor, but everyone is going to contribute a loaf of bread towards the Erev, and the owner of this home is not home, and we're asking his wife to contribute on behalf of the family. Does a woman have a right to do so? So here we go through the different opinions. Ishtoi shel Adam me'oreves lo shelo midaita. She can contribute without his knowledge. She can take his hard-earned money, and she took the money, she bought flour, she baked a loaf of bread, or she went to the store, she bought a bulka, she used her husband's hard-earned money. She can take that piece of bread and give it to the contribution for the Eruv HaTzeros, even though he does not know. Afilu Michaba, here's a tremendous chiddush of Mechaber, and we'll see soon that not everyone agrees to this. The husband, before he goes to work Friday, says, "Wife, I know they're going to come today and they're going to knock on the door. They're going to ask you for a loaf of bread the size of a dried fig for the Erev. I'm warning you, don't you dare give them my hard-earned money, the bread for this Erev. I don't care. Let them not carry on Shabbos. Too bad for them. Don't you dare. Afilu micha bosh lo la'arev. Doesn't matter. She can defy him. She can go and she can take his property. It's not hers. If it's hers, we'll see in the Mishnah Berurah, let's talk about it. If she has her own bank account, she makes her own money, she has a job, she has her money, does do whatever she wants. And she can do whatever. But we go in a case where she doesn't earn a penny, and he supports her. And it's his money. And he tells her, don't. It doesn't matter. He's allowed because Dark Yisholem. Dark Yisholem with the courtyard, that's what it says in the Mishnah Berurah. That's what the Mechaber says. Unbelievable. Afilo in Michal Bosh, that's according to first opinion. We can have some second opinion disagrees. Afilo in Michal Bosh, Afilo in Rugal of Yom, even if they never do this. In other words, it's a simple case. There's a courtyard, there are five residents. They don't. They just don't carry. Everyone is not interested. People just don't carry on Shabbos in the courtyard. Everyone minds their own business, and no one's sitting out there and playing. All of a sudden, this week, they decide, you know what, we're going to have an Erev. We want to carry in the courtyard. So the husband says, I've been living here for 20 years. We never carried in the courtyard. All of a sudden now, they want to carry in the courtyard. No way, not me. I don't want to contribute. Two chidushim. He tells his wife, no, and they've never done this before. Doesn't matter. If someone in the courtyard wants to make an Erev, she can give bread even though he has said no. Unbelievable. Shalom Bayis fight in his case. That's only in the situation where if she or this family does not contribute, then the remainder of the courtyard is stuck. They do not have an Erev. That's the only courtyard. There's only one courtyard. There are five residents. One of them is this family. Husband is away. Husband said, "Don't do it." She can defy him. As I explained, let's say the house is sandwiched in between two courtyards. And to the left. Right, courtyard A, that's the way he goes. He always goes through the front door. And he walks through courtyard A. So in that case, that's where he's that's his derech. And the other one, A, Nerog, Elot, says Fulavo. So the rule is, Berogel, Shoitzer, Me'areve, Shloy, Ledatoi, Afilu, A, Nerog, Elot. So courtyard A, where the husband and the wife, that's where they normally walk. That is their primary courtyard. And being it's their primary way of entry and exit to the street, if they do not contribute, all the other residents are unable to carry, the air is invalid, then she can give bread even against his will. Uvisheina Ragilot says Flavo Nami, Afalpi Sheino Yoisa. What about to the other courtyard? Let's say the courtyard to the right, courtyard B. That's not their primary entrance and exit. They don't use that. And therefore, if they would not contribute, fine. If they would not contribute, the other four people in courtyard B can make an Erev among themselves, and they're in business. They don't need the spies. However, now they come and say, "Oh, would you also like to join us? Maybe on Shabbos you would like to come and come out to the courtyard and schmooze with us, and you'll need to take out a chair, take out a beach chair. You know, and if you're not going to join us in the Erev, you're not going to be able to carry from your home to the courtyard. So join with us." So her husband, before he went to work Friday, said to his wife, "Don't you dare. I don't want you talking to the neighbors. Courtyard B. And if they come to you to give, I don't want you to contribute. And we don't need them. They don't need us. Don't get so worked up about it, because we go through courtyard A. We don't go through courtyard B. We're not causing them any harm. They can do without us." So what's the rule? The rule is it doesn't matter. When? If she has been accustomed, in other words, in the past, the family has been part of that group, even though it's not necessary. Now, again, she's allowed to contribute, even without him knowing and against his will. It doesn't matter. But, of course, this is very simple, intuitive. But if that's not their primary entrance and exit, and they're not accustomed to going in, they don't go through that direction, then of course, then she has no right to give his hard-earned bread to this courtyard, because they will not ruin it for them, and anyway, they are not accustomed to go in that direction. Fine. They don't join with them. What about a situation where the husband did not openly protest? He was silent. But the leniency, if the husband did not openly object, then she is allowed to contribute without his knowledge, even if they don't normally join with this group, and if they would not join, it would not have any effect upon them, because that's not their primary exit. Because the husband, the average husband, is a nice guy. He's a nice guy, and so you give someone a piece of bread to make an Erev Chatzeros, the wife has a right to assume that a husband deep down will be willing to give up his bread for the Erev Chatzeros, even though it's not absolutely necessary, as long as he did not openly object. Avol Eino, but one thing is clear: the wife is not allowed to be the sponsor without the husband's acknowledgement. In other words, if you want to make the way we make it today, and the wife wants to go to the store and buy a box, today might be a little different because we'll get to that some other day. But let's say the wife wants to go to the store and the wife wants to buy the box of matzah like we do today, and she will be the host, the sponsor for the entire courtyard. She is the most popular member of this courtyard, so she buys the box of matzah and she gives it to some member of the courtyard to the zikui on behalf of the entire courtyard. And whose money is she spending? She's spending her husband's hard-earned money. He has no idea what's going on. That she's not allowed to do. It's one thing to contribute a piece of bread the size of a dried fig, but to be the host and give everyone's dried figs. You need at least, the maximum you should have soon is 18 dried figs. 18 dried figs equivalent to Mazon Shtei Sudos. That she is not allowed to do without the consent of her husband. For others, Shaloi B'diyasai. Okay, that's one halacha. Let's do a little bit quick. The Mishnah Berurah, I pretty much summarized, there's very little Mishnah Berurah. I summarized, come out all the Mishnah Berurah here. There's very little Mishnah on this page also. Let's just run through very quickly. Now we go to another situation. Let's say both the husband and the wife are not home. No one's home. Who's home? The children are home. Minors or even adult children, but they're supported by the parents. Or better, no one's home. But the neighbor has the keys. So you'll go inside and you'll just help yourself in the kitchen. They'll take a loaf of bread from the bread basket, because if we don't take from them, then we can't carry on Shabbos. Look, they gave me a key in case of the emergency, right? Before you go away, you give somebody next to the neighbor the keys in case of an emergency. You have the keys to my house. So this is an emergency. We're not going to be able to carry on Shabbos. Are they allowed to enter their home and take a loaf of bread? That's the shalav. In bal habal, in habal, v'isha b'ir. The husband and wife are not home. But let's say the maid is home, or let's say the children are home, or other people who are residents of that home who are supported by the balabayis and the wife. Yecholim b'nei habayis l'ariv shloim b'diyosay im ein habayis b'suach el l'chotzer echad. So here we're a little bit limited. We're a little more limited. Is that it goes without saying that if this is the only courtyard, if you don't contribute, you're going to ruin. If everyone else, of course, you can contribute without their knowledge. That's a given. The afilim hoya besuach l'shech atzeres imhu ragil la'ar biyachem hem arv nalav. And even in a situation where there are two courtyards, so you don't necessarily ruin it. But if you're ragil, this is what we've been doing all the time, so you can continue doing what you're always doing. But in this situation where the wife is not home, we're a little bit machmir. Where are we machmir? Avalim ain't a ragil lo. But you can't start new traditions, new precedent. That you can't do. In the previous case, we learned that if the wife, she can take the liberty of saying, Mistama, my husband didn't object, even though this is not our custom. We have never done this before. We're living here for 20 years. We've never done this. Listen, he's a nice guy, my husband. Mistama, he'll let. But in this case, where it's not the husband, not the wife, it's just b'nei bayis, you're not allowed to be so generous. If it's not the custom, you've never done this, don't start now. Especially if it's not going, only in the case, of course, where you're not going to ruin it for anyone else. That's what would be nice. Now let's go to situation number three. No one is home. Not the husband, not the wife, not the children, the door is locked. But I have the key, they gave me the key. And now it's going to be Shabbos. So, and I know for a fact there's some bread inside. So let me go inside and open up the door and take the bread and use it for the Erev. Because if I don't, then we're not going to have an Erev. No, that you're not allowed to do. Avol bnei achotzer ein yochaylim likach pita mi beiso l'orev shlomi das echa b'bnei abayis. Afilu ragel imarim b'yoyisaleim. Even if that means that this Shabbos you're not going to be able to carry. Can you imagine me a big kiddush? There's going to be a kiddush and everyone needs to carry in the courtyard. Nope, no one's home, we can't get from them the food. I mean, the solution is to be the host, just to be a sponsor. Someone should be going the case where they're dealing with poverty, where no one has enough bread to be the sponsor. But if the only way they're going to be able to make this is by collecting bread from everyone's home, and you need bread from this person's home, that's going to be the only solution in this case, and they're not home, you're not allowed a forced entry, or not necessarily a forced entry, not allowed to enter and take bread without anyone's knowledge. What? Even if they're ragel, it says. Even though it says. That's what it says. Third line. Avol b'nei chotzer, ein yechom likachem pita mi beisul, arv shlom mi daitoi, echom b'nei v'ayis, afilu ragel. Fourth line. Afilu ragel yimahem. And even v'oyser halayim, it doesn't matter. That you can't do. Okay, that's the end of this verse. Basically, to summarize, I'm going to just summarize what we have. Three categories. So it's very simple. There are three categories. Dealing with the situation where everyone is contributing. Not case number three, where everyone is a host, sponsor. Case number where the husband's not home, the wife. So according to the Mechaber, so far, the Mechaber is extremely lenient. Extremely, the wife can always, pretty much, ruba de ruba, can contribute to the Erev Chatzeres, even if the husband told his wife, don't you dare. And it's the husband's money. It's an incredible fish. It's incredible. The husband supports her. The husband pays for everything. It's his money, his property. And he tells his wife, don't you dare. Chazal came along, Mishum Dark and Hashem, they overpowered his das. I guess Midin Hefker, Bezin Hefker. The wife wants to contribute. The wife doesn't want to contribute, so what are you going to do? I mean, that's... But you can't fight City Hall. But if the wife, she wants to contribute, and he doesn't want to contribute, she wins. Who pays for it? The husband pays for it. shingling to the husband's money. That's what it says. If and it cannot every single case. The only case where the wife loses, the wife can't do this, is where the husband said no, and it's not going to ruin it for them because there are two courtyards, and they're not ragil. But if they're ragil, or they're going to ruin it, or the husband doesn't say anything, he's just a mean guy, but he never explicitly objected, then hey, do it, go for it. Very linked. And then the third scenario is then, okay, that's case number one. Scenario number two, the wife's not home, but the B'nai Bayis are home. The children are home, or people who live in the house. They are full-time guests, live in the house. Can they take property from the host family and give? Pretty much yes, but not with the same degree of generosity. Ruba d'ruba, yes, but if you're not ragil, ain't a ragil, then and you don't and you're not oyser, then don't and ain't a oyser, then don't start. That you can't do. That a little one notch less generosity. You go down one notch less. And then the third scenario is when no one is home, but you have access. I have the key. I have the key to the front door. They gave me the key in case of an emergency. Is this an emergency? No, this is not an emergency. But I can't carry on Shabbos. So you don't carry on Shabbos. So stay in your home and don't carry in the courtyard. It's not bikuach nefesh. And don't say, oh, they would like. No, you're not allowed to do without their das. Now we come to the end of the mechab. The mechab is wife by the... What?
The wife can't be the bride in the first car. She can't initiate.
They're going to get when no one home. Third case when no one is home. Now we go to a new halach. What?
She can't initiate.
Maybe she can initiate. I mean, she can't be the sponsor.
That's what I mean.
She can't be no, but that's a different halacha. Being sponsor means that I'm going to pay for everyone. You can.
Yeah.
I'll pay for the whole courtyard.
I'll pay for the first.
No, that you can't do. But let's say to initiate. No one wants to make an error. She's the one that wants to make an error. Interesting. I don't know. It doesn't talk about that here. It's a very good point. You have to be buying more. Yes, very good. What will be Allah with the other people in the courtyard? They don't want to have an Erev. And she's the one that wants to have the Erev. So maybe it's no different. You know, you always have a wife. She wants certain things in the house. And thus, I don't need this. I don't need a fancy dining room table. I can just bare bones. I can have just a $10 table. You want to go buy a $100 table? Who wins? Ruba druba, the wife wins. That's the way it goes, right? So why should the Ruby Chatzeros be different? I want an Erev. I don't want to be locked up in the house the whole Shabbos. I want to be able to go out to the courtyard and carry. You don't want, so I maybe it's also she can do it. I don't know. Now we go to the next part of the Mechab. The Mechab says that the Yesh Oymrim, what I've told you above, take a step back. Can't be so generous. If the husband says no, no is no. The Yesh Oymrim, some say the Ein Ishta Merevis Ela Shlo Bidiyasoy. Okay, everything we learned so far is the same way. We don't know what the husband has to say. Avol. But this that I told you in the previous page, if the husband says no, she wins over his objection. Avol Im Oymer She'ein Eroitze La'ore V'imohem Lo. That's already different. Then she is not allowed. She's not allowed to defy him. V'im hu rogil arvi mohim v'yachshav. Now we go to a new halacha. Just finish up. V'im hu rogil arvi mohim. Let's say the husband all the years was on good terms, always contributed and joined with them. V'achshav, all of a sudden this Shabbos he gets into a fight and decides no more. I don't want to contribute. V'achshav nireitzeh b'nei chatz nechatz nusach beisav nelu menu abal karchai. Unbelievable. So in this case, not only can the wife give, let's say the wife also gets into a fight. Everyone gets into a fight. The family gets into a fight with the entire community, with this courtyard. And they both don't want to give. And if they don't give, then no one else, they ruin it for the entire courtyard. And again, we're going in a situation where there's no sponsor. I mean, today it's no big deal. I mean, today just you buy a box of matzah, not today. Buy a box of matzah, and the box of matzah is for the entire community, so you pay $5. We're dealing here with the bare bones halacha, where no one is the sponsor. No one has $5 to buy a box of matzah. Everyone has to contribute a loaf of bread the size of a dried fig. And this family is on strike. And we're going to a situation where for the last 20 years, they always contributed to the air. All of a sudden now, they decide no more. Then the rule is you can break into their home, That's what it says. By force, b'nei chatzer nichnasim l'soch be'sova nolim nimeinu b'al karchom. Because you have no right. You have no right to ruin it for us. If we're able to carry on Shabbos, and you've always, we have a tradition, we have a precedent, and all of a sudden you don't want to contribute. You're not allowed to do that. We'll take it by force from you. Well, let's say they never contributed. For 20 years, no one ever carried this coin. All of a sudden, someone decides, a new minhag in this community we're going to carry. And this one family is stubborn. They don't want to contribute. So we'll take it by force. That you can't do. Since it never happened, the Mishnah Berurah says, so simple. Just someone should be a sponsor for them. And that's the end. You have to ask them. Now, but this is interesting. Let's same situation. We have a community courtyard. They never had an eruv, so you're not allowed to take the law into your own hands and force this couple on strike to contribute. That you can't do, because if we had a custom until now, it was true that all the years we had an Erev, and now you're on strike, then we are allowed to take the law vigilante into our own hands. We can force you, we'll hold you up in shul, we'll force you to give us the loaf of bread there. But if you have a custom, you can't take the law into your own hands, but you can send a hazmana lebezdin. Come to court, the bezdin has the right to force this family to contribute. Aval kaifenoy sabe bezin arvi marim bezin yordi mechosel bezin confuse their assets. So it's very interesting. Here you learn in the middle of nowhere, the law is different situations. There's situations where an average citizen can take the law into their own hands, and then there are situations where no, you're not allowed to. You have to go through a legal process. Agav mishen rogel la'arev ve'arev in bnei chatzer v'chozah ne'uvo. That's really the same thing that we just said, but you want to bring a different point. That he just, the Ramah is just emphasizing that's the case that we just mentioned, but he's bringing out the next words. Tzorich lach zarveliskos. When he renews the Erev, he has to be mezake. If he withdraws from the Erev, and now he renews the Erev, he has to formally be mezake. He has to give the bread over. It's not enough for someone else to take the bread. There has to be a kinyan, a formal kinyan, to show that he's back part of the Erev. It's not something which is automatic. Let's just see the Mishnah Berurah test how he says those words. In other words, here's the case. The Mishnah Berurah is this detail which explains the case. The person was a partner, and the bread, his matzah, was in the home where it was stored. And then he made an announcement. He told everyone, "I'm not part of your Erev. I don't want to be part of the Erev. The bread that you have in so and so's home, I want it back. It should." He makes it known it's no longer part of this group. So the Erev is bottle, and then they mafias him, they pacify him. Okay, fine, I'll join with you, I'll be part. The bread that's in that purse has to be taken back and be given again. You have to go through the formality, because once he expressed his will that he no longer wants to be a participant, the bread that's resting here in that basket is bottle. And now when he wants to rejoin, it's not enough, okay, fine, I'm back in business. He has to give the bread, nochamo, and make the kinyan. Af al kain dar mishbur yitas al kain im yitz lios ot shutof imohem tzach l'shtatif mechadosh. You have to do it all over. You have to go through the formality. And then the Ramah concludes av limar gal arif. But let's say the person was rog gal arif havi erev bal karchay. That's only in the case where he was not rogil. In other words, sometimes yes, sometimes not. Person, a shady guy. Sometimes yes, sometimes not. He's not rogel, and then he makes it known no more. That's when you have to make a new kinyan. But if this person was always, from time immemorial, a long-standing member of the Erev, and he got into a fight, it was a one-time thing, and he backed out, and now they were mafayas him, and he wants to rejoin. In this situation, he does not need to go through the formality of giving the bread again, taking it back, giving it again. Automatically, it's been reinstated. The only time you have to go through the formality of making the kinyan all over again is only where you join them, sometimes yes, sometimes not, you were not ragil. But when you're ragil, then it's good to see Mishnah Mechaf and Shalom Chav, but even Baruch Hachav, it's Lema, Sh'eini Yachal Lachsal Levad Le'eruvo, Kedi Le'el, if you're ragil, you're not letting me vatil, Ve'hecha Shalom Ragil, Arvi Mohem, Boim, Ben Echad, Sev, Nehad, Lemen, Baruch Hachav, the Kol Shechein Hacha, Shapatz, Kfar, Munach, Ha'yadam, since the bear was already in their possession, the after they are Rishon, the Spirle, the Loi Das, Ishtay, In, Ben Echad, Sev, Yechayel, Nikach, Men, Baruch Hachav, Hacha, Kilo, here it's more lenient, in this case, Ben Echad, Shapatz, Kfar, Munach, Tachasim, since they already have the bread, and he was ragil, and he was accustomed, he's not allowed to really remove himself, so even though he said he is removing himself, we don't take that seriously, and when he agrees to be part of the Erev once again, you don't have to go through this kinyan again. And where are these halachas? Nogei halacha l'maisa. Nogei when it comes to tzedakah, very common. Someone comes to collect money, and okay, today most women have their own bank accounts, and they have their own say, and they make more money than their husbands. Or at least they make just as much, they're independent. Today we live in a different world, but let's say you're dealing with a situation where the wife fully supports, the husband fully supports the wife, mashakon se ishakon abayla, is a woman allowed to give tzedakah? Is a woman allowed to give a donation? Let's say you go very common, in these years go to shul yiskor appeals. Yiskor appeals are very common, women daven in different shuls in their husband. They daven around the corner and the husband goes to wherever he goes. And it comes Yiskor and they give a significant amount of money, give $100, give $36, whatever you're giving. And a woman, what?
Davar mu'at.
Oh, that's the halacha. The halacha is a davar mu'at. A small amount, and what's called a small amount. Okay, so it's relative, whatever is accepted in society to be a small amount, depending on the person's income, the person's standing with panasa. But a large amount of money is accepted that not. A significant amount of money requires the reshus, the permission, the explicit permission of the husband, otherwise the shayla of gezel. There are very different stories about gedolim. They went collecting, and women gave large sums of money, and some of the Chavetz Chaim just send it back. Because al pi halacha, you have to ask reshus from your husband is his money, and a small donation, it's understood the husband wants to give, and it really comes from halacha over here. Comes over here from the Eruvi Chatzeros, the wife is allowed to give. According to the first opinion, even if the husband says, no, I don't want you to give, she's allowed to give. Darak Yashom, this is the way the world goes, you can give. And of course, here it's a davar mu'at. The case of Eruvi Chatzeros is not a significant amount. A loaf of bread the size of a dried fig is not $1 million. And it's all intertwined, these halachas, and that's just at least a little halacha l'maisa, which comes out of these Eruvi Chatzeros. Other interesting thing is, you see here a taste of there are times where you can take the law into your own hands. If this is what you've been doing your whole life, you have no right to make problems for everyone here. And you want to make problems? We'll stop you. We're not going to call the police. We'll do it ourselves. We'll force entry and we'll take the bread so that we can have our chatzeres. It's only where you've never done this and you're being unreasonable, akshanis, is unreasonable, then we have no right to take the law into our own hands. We have to go through a legal system. We'll win at the end, no question about it. But we have to go through the legal steps. But other times, I mean, obviously today you can't go too far with this, but it's an interesting idea to know. Shulchan Aruch.